We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Welcome to season 2, episode 4 of This Is Football, sponsored by Tesco's Express. This week on the show, we're delighted we'll be joined by Alex Nolan in the second part. But before we get into that, we'll get through all our normal stuff, lads. How are we?
Yeah, all good.
We're going to nod again.
We're going to nod again, even though I stumbled, but we're going to nod again. Yeah. That was one of our outtakes from last week. I introduced the two boys and the two of them nodded at me. I didn't say anything, so we had to retake Sick of doing
that was the 15th. That was the 15th take because you messed up. So don't start. Let's put that bit in first.
No, let's anyway. Put that. Listen, lads, what an interview we have with Alex Nolan coming up in the second part. A cracking interview. Can't wait to listen to that back again. But as I said before that, let's get into the results, will we? For Dunboyne's results for last week. Lads, what a weekend. We had fixtures.
I know, and the weather wasn't even that great. We still got them off.
We got all the fixtures off Saturday and Sunday. All the boys and girls played, so let's get through the fixtures. So first up, we had our under-12s were beaten 5-3 at home to Skerries. That's under-12 Premier. I actually watched that game, lads. That was a great game. So a quick match report on that. Dunboyne were 4 down at half-time.
Wow.
Second half, whatever they said in the second half, they came out flying, got it back to 4-3. They were pushing and pushing and pushing and unfortunately got caught with the last kick of the game to make a 5-3, but a great effort to the lads there. That was a great game to watch. The feisty few tackles flying in, it was a good game for the Premier under-12s. Moving on to our under-11s, A were beaten in the cup by Skerries. Our under-12 A won 1-0 away to Baldoyle. Our under-11 F won away to Liffey Bank. Our under-13 A, Dunboyne 2, Skerries 2. I watched a bit of that as well. That's their other team from the Saturday, Trev. Wynn played a big factor in that one, but like that Ashbourne or that Skerries team are really strong, so that's a great result too well for the boys. Our under-11 B were beaten away to Lusk. Our under-9 C won, I think that was at home to Drogheda. Our under-14 B won 4-2 away to Lusk. Our under-9 A won at home to Clonee, a first home game of the season. That's obviously with the weather. Our under-12 F lost 5-2 at home to Balbriggan. Under-15 won 5-0 versus Lusk in the cup. I'm not sure, is that under-15 A? It might be. Our under-12 C lost 2-1 at home to Liffey Bank. That's a close game. Under-8 B won at home to Laytown. And moving into Sunday, Trev, we were the first match on Sunday. We had a comprehensive win, 11-0 win against Kilsealy. Do you want to go through that match report, Trev?
Not much really to say. 2-0 up after two or three minutes. And it was just what really impressed me was the pitch was understandably soft. Let's just put it that way. I walked across it before and after the match, and I could barely walk across it. So credit for the way they played. They opened their body. They shifted it across. They moved them around, and they done what they had to do. I mean, you know, obviously 11-0, you kind of think, yeah, they done what they had to do, but they done it in the right way, and they didn't let their standards drop. And that's what I was most impressed about. So yeah, onwards and upwards. Look, you can only be who's in front of you, as you said to them on the day, and we did.
Yeah, it was. I think I agree with you there. Unfortunately, Kinsey only had 11 players as well, which doesn't help. No, but fair play to them for turning up. They tried to play, but they were just beaten by the better team.
Lovely bunch of lads as well. Nick was a lovely coach. Yeah, well. So hopefully they do well now in the rest of the season.
Moving on to our under-11s, MGL won away to Cleveland. Our under-11C lost to Rathaut. Our under-14 Premier lost at home to Laytown. Our under-11A lost on penalties in the cup versus Rathaut. Yeah. Our under-11E lost at home to Malahide. Our under-13 Premier MGL girls lost 3-2 to Cluny in the cup. Our under 10 C won versus Swords Manor. Under 10 B won versus Bowes, and our under 10 D won versus Balrodry. Well done to all the under 10s there. Our men's side were beaten. Saturday side were beaten 4-1 versus St. Paul's Artane.
Now,
under 18.
They won Paul 4-1.
Oh, apologies. Apologies. I misread that. So our under men's Saturday won 4-1 against St. Paul's Artane. Well done, lads, and I apologise for that. Our under 18A lost 2-1 away to Swords Manor. Our under 16s lost 5-1 at home to Ballarats. I think that's the MGL. Under 15 Premier won 2-0 at home to Stalmullen. Under 17s won 3-2 away to Marino in the Cup. Under 18 Girls won 4-3 away to Skerries in the Cup. Under 19s lost 3-1 away to Hoth. Our under 9C lost at home to Ballarat, and that's all the fixtures I had. And it's great to get through so many fixtures, lads. It's been a while since I called out so many fixtures, loads of games on there, and that's the main thing.
Just two other results. The under over 35s had their first league game of the season. They played at home against River Valley Rangers, and they had a 2-1 win. Now the lads are struggling for players. I think they only had 13 with injuries and all of what that goes with an over 35s team. So well done. I think Des got a goal and Sean got a goal. So a great start to the season. Our senior Scott, I went to the first half and you went to the second half. So I'll call it the first half. I think it was similar to the second half. Just never got going. We get home against Leasup on Sunday morning. Weather was atrocious, but just never got going. 1-0 down at half time, and I think, am I right in saying it was a similar second half?
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, just didn't really get going the whole game. Again, weather, it's just one of those games you just want to forget about. I'm sure the lads, you know, all disappointed with the result, and you know, trying to we have ambitions to get promoted, so obviously a bit of a knockback. But look, when you just get a result like that, you just gotta dust yourself down and get going for the next game, which is actually this Friday against Blackrock away, which will be a tough game, but once again, capable of beating anyone, you know, so there's no need to be afraid of them.
And Scott, just actually, we haven't asked in a while, how are you injury wise?
I should be back in 2 weeks. I was with the physio there on Saturday. I made an idiot of myself. I slipped and fell off the tee box about 2 weeks back, which put me back another month effectively. So,
it's a pity. So you slipped off the tee box and you're off now 4 weeks.
Oh, God,
is that right?
Yeah, about four.
Four. Yeah, okay.
So, what did you
I didn't know that, and if I hadn't known that, I wouldn't ask you about your fitness.
Tell everybody again, Scott, what did you fall off?
The tee box.
What did you do, you feel?
The tee box.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know. That's,
good man. Yeah. Good man. Yeah. So you're 2 weeks away.
There,
well.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, here we go. Trev's dad jokes. So on that note, we'll move on to our League of Ireland results from last week. We'll over to Scott's corner. Scott, how did all the teams get on?
So look, I'll run through the results. I was obviously at the Bowes Shells game, but
how did that game go? Let's start with that one.
I thought we'd do that one at the end.
We'll do it at the start and the end.
Start and the end, yeah, fair. Now, look, 2-0 Shells, and that's it. Now, in fairness, look, it was 2-0 to Shells. The game itself, like, first half was fairly tragic, I'll be honest. Two teams that have always been kind of under the vine with Bowes. Well, when they were under the vine now, I've always been solid off the ball, but it's been kind of going forward is where you're asking a few questions. They don't really create many chances. And last year they relied on Afolabi, who went off to Belgium, really, to like get a goal. So it was always going to come from a mistake, and it did. It was a deflected shot outside of the box from Liam Burr for Shells. And Sean Boyd, the Shells centre forward, he just latched onto it quicker than the defenders, got his body across, and won the penalty. Jarvis slipped it away, and they got a second then. Bowes were pushing, but they got a second. It was actually a good goal. It was a free kick whipped in, and a glancing header into the far corner. But Yeah, I think we all know the news now. Devine actually he lost his job after that game, and it was kind of there was a bit of a tell at the end of the game. He first of all the Jody completely emptied, which I haven't seen in years to be honest, and he ran straight down the tunnel. He didn't acknowledge the fans were at, and so it was kind of written on the wall. But yeah,
sorry, Scott, I'll come across you there. Is what's the amongst the Bowers fans? Are they happy he's gone? What's the feeling in within the crowd?
Was it coming a long time,
or what's the story?
See, the gas thing is he's only had one full season, which was last year. He came in the back of 2022, and you know we started great last season. I think we've said it before, and then the wheels kind of fell off. And since then, it's just kind of been, you know, there has been a few questions thrown at him. It's just mainly because the football played under him wasn't great whatsoever. And there was a famous incident after the last game of the season last year before the cup final where he basically promised the fans he'd bring the cup back, and everyone kind of knew at the time it was kind of a silly thing to do because Bowes weren't in great form and Pats were flying at the time. It was kind of, you know, writing your own debt wish. And then obviously didn't start great this season. So I think the writing was kind of on the wall, and even just from, you know, following the journalists around the league, they kind of thought Devine was always in hot water from the start of the season.
Okay, very good.
I'll run through the rest of the results here, if I can find them. Yeah, so Sligo Rovers and Shamrock Rovers on the Saturday was nil all. Derry won 3-0 at home to Waterford. Pat Hooban picked up a hat-trick there. Galway draw, that was 0-0. And then Pats got off the mark 1-0 against Dundalk. And I'll just run through the fixtures coming up. Bowes and Derry on Friday, another big game. Dundalk, Waterford, Galway at home to Shamrock Rovers, Pat Shells in the Dublin Derby, and then the Saturday game again this week because Sligo are at home to Drogheda.
Some tasty games in there, isn't it? Pat Shells
will be good, yeah.
Stand out now, in fairness, yeah. What's your
Dufour's flying, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
he's not playing, but yeah.
Well, we found out, didn't we, to Darren Maloney's a workaholic Dufour, and you can kind of see that in the Shells team. Yeah. They're very well organised. They don't give up many chances. They're not, I wouldn't say like, you know, they're the best team to watch, but they'll never make any mistakes, and it's preying off them now early on in the season where it's the same thing every year in the League of Ireland. Like, every team is kind of new in terms of the player turnover is massive, and Shells just look like the most drilled so far, and it's playing off them. So, 13 points that they've won, 4-1 after 5 games. So, it's been a really impressive start.
Well, I'm going to give my prediction for that. It's 1-0 Pats, Alex Nolan to get the winner, and Conor Keady to keep a clean sheet. And if anyone wants to come on from any other teams, I'll fix their results as well. That's it.
Yeah, this is football, the prediction, that one.
This will go out before that match is played, Trev, so I hope you're right.
Forget about Cheltenham. Forget about Cheltenham. Put your money on that.
All your money. Bowes, Derry, I think I'll have to concede and go up my head here. I'm going to go with a Derry away win.
Oh! What? Say that again.
A Derry away win.
Don't. Fell off a tee box. He must have banged his head.
Oh, God. He's going to be battered in the Jody stands. I hope you don't show your face up there. Are you going the way end? Oh, Lord. Keep falling off them tee boxes. Did you bang your head?
Waiting here, but he's... Yeah,
no. What a golf ball!
Here he's going to say for the United and Liverpool game, Liverpool 5-0. Watch.
Yes. Oh Lord! I tell you, there'll be a few Bowes fans out for you now after this. Mm. I'm actually going to be a Bowes fan this week just to out you now. Fair play, Scott. You're going with your head and not your heart. You're going for the dirty win.
I think Bowes will easily win. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going Bowes.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah.
We are Bowes.
Easy Bowes with 3-0.
Always believe in your soul.
Yes. Anyway, move on from that one. Woo!
Dundalk, nice. Waterford. I will go with a. I'll actually go with a draw.
Doesn't matter. You went against.
I ain't going to pretend I know what I'm talking about, and I'm gonna go with a draw.
I'm going Waterford.
Galway Rovers.
What's the story with Rovers? They do this every year, don't they?
To a certain extent, yeah, but it's getting a bit worrying now. It's five games worrying in, and they are.
I'm a Bowls fan, a real Bowls fan.
Yeah. No, sorry. Rovers only play four games. They've drawn three, lost one, but yeah, they have to get going soon because I think Kevin's kind of looking at Derry. I know Shells have started great, but we kind of expect them to fall off a bit. But Derry look like real challengers this year, and I don't think you'll be able to give them a 10-point lead like Bowls last year. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Yeah, he's getting himself under pressure there, isn't he?
Yeah, Stephen Bradley, he'll never be sacked.
Bradley to Bowls.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of stick last year, wasn't he, though?
Yeah, there was a bit of a void in the camp there. Yeah,
he's
there was.
Mentioned that he won't change his way.
Yeah, well, that way got them their fourth league title in a row, so I don't know what they're talking about in the end.
Fans are mad.
Yeah. Oh, no, but anyway. I'll give you a good one. What snippet, one lad in work, I asked him, like, well, you know, what's going on with Rovers? And he said, oh, they're just fatigued after winning four leagues in a row. I was like, God, don't suffer from that fatigue.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's good to be suffering from, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're sick of winning. We're tired of winning. Right, let's go on there, boys.
Yeah, Galway Rovers anyway. Galway at home. I think I'll go with a draw.
The fact
I've said Rovers the whole long time. Yeah,
I'm going to go Rovers. They have to get it right.
Yeah. I said that last 3 weeks.
Rovers. Then we have we've already predicted this one, Pat Shell. So we're all going 1-0, Alex Nolan, and a clean sheet.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Put your money on that one, folks.
All in. And then
Sligo. Oh, yeah, bigger than the Gold Cup, this one.
Sligo Drogheda. I'll go with a home win.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. As if I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
Right, fair enough. Thanks for that, Scott. Trev, let's go over to the Premiership results. Is this Trev's corner?
Trev's corner.
Let's go over to your predictions, Trev. How did we get on after your successful first time win last week? Surely you followed it up. Surely you made two in a row. Let's go through these predictions, Trev, see how you get on.
I'm going to use the bleep button soon enough with you. United and Everton. United, a terrible game. I watched it. Two penalties. They were definitely penalties, but terrible, terrible game. So, Paul, you said a draw. I said a draw. Scott said United. So, Scott's 1-0 up. Bournemouth and Sheffield United. We all must have said Bournemouth because Sheffield, that was a draw, wasn't it? So, we all got that wrong. So, still 1-0 to Scott. Palace Luton. That was that a draw?
Yeah,
that was 2-1 Palace. Oh, was it 2-1? All right, so okay, so 2-1. So Paul said draw, and we both I think Luton were 2-0 up, and Palace got it back to 2-2. So Paul said draw.
That was a draw,
right? So Paul got that right, we got it wrong. So 1-1-0. Funny enough, I am nil. Wolves, Fulham. Fulham won that 2-1. We all got that wrong. Arsenal, Bournemouth, we all got that right. Fair enough. I just about got that right. Arsenal just got over the line. But a win is a win. I know, and they're motoring. So Villa and Spurs. So Paul, you said Spurs. I said Spurs. Scott, you said Villa. Yeah, I'm gonna repeat
Trev,
it.
You said Spurs.
I said Spurs. Scott said Villa. Brighton and Forest. So we all said Brighton. We got that just about 1-0. West Ham and Burnley. We all said West Ham. We all got that wrong. Liverpool, Man City. Paul, you said City. Scott, you said City, I said draw. Unfortunately, I'm right. Chelsea and Newcastle. Paul, listening back to last week, you said Newcastle, and then you said, oh no, I'm going to go with Chelsea right at the end, and that's big, right. Big call.
That should only be worth half a point.
I said draw, and Scott, you said Chelsea. So at the end, Scott, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. And Paul, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Boom!
Nicked it.
Listen, it's just...
Yeah, but hold on a second. The worst, the top. I had the worst bleep. Things have happened on this... Now, worst things happen in this podcast. Scott's...
I've had a blip for 1 week.
Right.
Trevor, fairness, you won one.
Yeah, so it's 4-1. Nil.
Roy.
Sorry, Scott. Scott, you've had a bad few weeks. Last week we were talking about the City game, or the United game that you went to. Then we said, then you fell off a tee box. Now you're injured. Now Bowes, you're not a Bowes fan anymore.
Now you're not back, and you're not a Bowes fan anymore. Now you're predicting Rovers to win. Like, what is going on?
I just take the prediction seriously.
Bang in the head. Right. Speaking of which, here we go to this week's predictions. So we have we've only got 4 games in the Premier League because there's 2 quarterfinals, and we're gonna give a shout on those. So the first, these are bad games, but they're all important games. In fairness, Burnley against Brentford.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll go draw.
Draw. Paul.
I'm going to home win. I think Burnley are going to get
draw.
I think they need to start picking up points now.
Okay. Luton and Forest. I won't be watching any of them games, I can tell you.
No. Luton and Forest, mother of God. I don't know what the story is with Luton. Haven't they been very unlucky with some of their results?
I like watching them actually.
But that is some game, isn't it?
I'm going Luton.
Like, that's a 6-pointer.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like everyone has a soft spot for Luton. So I'm going to go.
I think it's that ground where, you know, you go out and go for a walk and you're looking in someone's back garden and then onto the pitch. The Forest and Luton, that's a 6-pointer. Like, Luton are 3 points behind Forest.
Lads, I asked you 15 minutes ago if there was your prediction. Can you give it to me, please?
Trevor.
Thank you.
I'm going Luton.
I went Luton as well.
Okay.
What's yours, Trevor?
I'm home as well. I said it 15 minutes ago. I'm not messing around here.
Apologies.
Fulham and Spurs. That'd be a good game, actually. Derby. I'm going to go Spurs.
Spurs.
Draw.
Okay, Scott loses that one. West Ham Villa.
Oh, that's a good game, isn't it? That's the
for
one
all different reasons. Both of them.
I'll go West Ham at home.
I'm going West Ham.
Okay, so you're both going home. I'm going to go draw. Right. So they're the only 4 games. And we may as well comment on the 2 FA Cup games. Chelsea and Leicester. There has to be a winner.
Surely Chelsea.
Who cares?
I'm gonna go Leicester.
I'm gonna go Chelsea.
Yeah. I think Chelsea home.
Okay. And then a smaller one, Scott. You're probably a Liverpool fan now, are you? Man United versus Liverpool.
United win at home all day. Cup game.
Hang on, are you going with your heart now instead of your head?
No, this is a head pick.
Don't say it's head, he's after banging that.
Yeah.
No, okay. Liverpool will probably put out the kids again, will they?
It's still a bleeding win.
We've been putting out for the whole season because there are so many injuries. Yeah. We put out the kids against City and we should have beat them.
I don't want to hear about injuries. Half the United squad has been out with injuries. I think United will win at home.
But they get Jadon Sancho, you know, these Greek players and Anthony.
In fairness,
really
they're some injuries. They must have been all falling off tee boxes.
not that serious.
Half of them you want injured. Are you joking me? That's been a bonus then, Beano. Sorry, obviously a Liverpool win plus two.
Time now, please. Oh, plus two, all right. Okay, all right. So that's all the action for this weekend. Any games that you want to talk about from the weekend gone, lads? In the Premiership or anything? We won't talk about rugby because no game. Okay, that's fine.
Go on. You might as well bring
Scott,
up the
I'll ask
one.
You. Oh, that one. All right, okay. Forget about that one.
Oh, the big one where there was a big controversy at the end, was it? Where he won the ball?
There's no controversy at the end. What about the fact that Liverpool battered them in the second half and were the far better team? That's all I'm going on. I'm not even going to discuss the end of the game. It should have been dead and buried. I know they hit the post in the second half, but I have to say, Liverpool in the second half, bar the first 10 minutes, which I think they kind of were letting City kind of just have the feel them out and see what they're going to come. In fairness, City came at them, but when they couldn't break them down, it was a lovely goal by City. In fairness, it was a great move. Great move.
Are you bored, Scott?
And some people saying it was a foul for their goal and him pushing. Not a chance. That was just well worked. And I just thought, it was a good game. I mean, for a neutral, genuinely, it must have been a great game to watch.
Yeah. It was a good game.
Very, very high level.
City got out of jail there. I don't know how Liverpool... You want to talk about the controversy of was it a penalty, wasn't it a penalty? It doesn't make a difference. Liverpool should have hammered them. They should have put away their chances. They missed chance after chance after chance. They nearly got punished. City went up and hit the post. That would have been a stinger. And then all the moaning. That was definitely a penalty.
All joking aside, do you not think it was a penalty? Do you not think it was...
No, he won the ball.
Do you know my feelings on it?
No, I actually don't think it was. I don't think it was a penalty.
He won the ball.
Were you on that same tee box with him, banging your head?
He won the ball.
The docking was worse. The worst thing he done was let the thing bounce. He should have never let it bounce. But remembering the ball... See, these still images drives me mad. That tackle is going up in the air, not cross. So he comes up, the ball is bouncing back up. He wins the ball. His foot comes through.
He puts his foot chest high. Out. Oh,
so this is the reason why people are starting to hate Liverpool. I told you this the other day. He's a turning into
mean,
the new
United. What
do you mean
starting to hate Liverpool?
Eyes are
you
always
can't
whinging
tell me
and even your manager coming out, he could have killed them. Fuck, Jesus Christ. Like, remember Ferguson kicked the ball at a United player's head, was Ronaldo. He could have killed him, and Ferguson got Beckham. Slaughtered over that. Klopp comes out and does it, and everybody agrees.
What do you think about Quivín Kelleher? I think he's been sensational for the last six weeks.
I thought he was overrated. Really did. Even when he came on when he was playing for Ireland, there was a few games back there, not Kenny, I thought he was brutal. But Jesus, he was excellent. And he has been excellent since he's come in. Like, excellent. So, he's put me back in my box.
Anytime I've seen him play for Liverpool, like over the last, you could say now, even 2 to 3 years, he's been excellent. I can't remember him making a mistake or anything like that. It's kind of, he's at that stage though. Does he have to leave now, you know, to get first team football if he wants to be the Ireland keeper? Because I think he'll start for any Premier League team, really, you know, mid-table-ish. Usually that's where you start off. But no, he's been excellent, really. Especially in that clip, Scott,
I wouldn't even say that at this point in time. I'd say he'd actually keep Alisson out. He's playing that well. And I think he'd go into, joking aside, he is.
Alisson is, let's be honest, a top team
in there. He wouldn't have to go mid-table. And that's the quality of being... That's the difference between a quality goalkeeper. When he's played for Liverpool in the odd cup game here, they were the games Liverpool were dominating and he didn't really have to dominate. He's winning games for them now. When it matters, he's pulling off these top class saves. Like that one, that game against Chelsea in the cup, like he won that for them.
Big time.
That's the difference now. It's not he's a second team keeper coming in because he's getting game. He's actually come in and he's holding his spot. I think Alisson would do well to come straight in and take that spot. I'd be disappointed if Alisson comes back next week and he's handed back that number one jersey. I really would be.
Well, you have to remember, Alisson is, all joking aside, he's definitely the top three keepers in the world, and nobody will tell me any different. But I agree with you. From the sounds of it, Alisson may be out for the rest of the season. I think he's had a few setbacks. But even if he came back next week and Alisson was ahead of him, I'd be kind of disappointed, because he's in a run of form there. He's done nothing. He's done nothing wrong. He's, as you said, he saved points. We got a draw against City. I know we maybe could have won it, but he pulled off a couple of saves against Foden as well in the second half. Lothar was right. And the best compliment you can give him is, like, nobody's talking about him. As in, nobody's... They're praising him, yeah. You look at Trent being out. Obviously, Bradley's come in. He's only 20 from up north. Obviously, Trent is sensational. But I think Bradley's a better actual defender at this point in time than Trent. Nobody's talking about missing Trent. Obviously, we want Trent back in. But they've done very well. But, like, Kelleher himself, he's so unassuming. I think he'd be perfect for the likes of Brighton or someone like that. Good with his feet. You know, would probably obviously be busy. But I agree with you, Scott. I think the time now has come. He's proven his worth. You have to remember, every single season for the last 3 or 4 seasons that Alisson's been there, he's missed over 10 games through injury. So he is kind of injury prone. So is he kind of in a situation where, do you know what, I'm going to get my chances here? Or does he push on? It's going to be interesting summer. I'd be devastated to see him gone. But I completely, as an Irishman, you want him to go on and be number one. Because if he goes anywhere else and plays regular football, it's not a question for me. Like, Gavin Bazunu is number one because he's playing regularly and he's getting his chance.
Yeah, he's gone. The problem now is, which is a good problem, I'd say he's seen himself now and going, no, I he's got a taste for it now. He's proven here he can do it.
I can do it.
I think he's going to want to move now. If you're not guaranteeing me the top spot, I want to move. Because I want to be playing at this level and I want to be playing week in, week out. It was only last season, or 6 months ago, Celtic were linked with him. That's gone now. Because someone's going to get, or Liverpool are going to get big money for him. Big, big money. And we were looking at him to replace him with Joe Hart. And that was the talks. Could we get him on a deal? Could we pay half his wage? That was real big links there with Rodgers and that.
Yeah, but if Alisson didn't get injured, that probably would have happened. Or certainly could have happened. Because he would have been. No, it's not going to happen now. And as I say, no matter what the decision is made, if he stays, it's, as an Ireland fan, it's disappointing. But obviously, a Liverpool fan's good. So let's just see what happens. But I'm delighted for him because he's been there a few years. You never hear anything from him. He's always fit. He very rarely lets you down, as you say, Scott. And it's very unusual. Like any kind of a goalkeeper, you look at the goalkeepers that Chelsea have had and Arsenal have had with Ramsdale and all that, and the mistakes. And I always say, and that's the one thing about Alisson, he absolutely has a mistake in him every couple of games, but he can forget about that mistake and he goes on. So where some keepers, it gets, you know, if they make a mistake, their head goes. The top elite goalkeepers don't do it. Alisson doesn't do it. I'm not saying Kelleher's elite by any means, but he's learning from Alisson every day. He's training at the top level. And if and when he does make mistakes, it doesn't seem to faze him. So let's just see what happens. It'd be very interesting to see.
Yeah, that's a good note. And it's like, we have the international break coming up, so it's going to be interesting. Does he go in and take Bazunu's spot there? So only time will tell. Okay, boys, that was very good. Coming up, anything to add there before we bring in the interview for part two?
No, I think we hit the nail on the head there. No, I'm not a boss.
No, Scott, stay away from them tee boxes. Okay, coming up after the break, we have Alex Nolan. So we're delighted to be joined by Alex Nolan. Alex is a perfect example of the Irish grassroots footballer. Starting his career in a very own Dunboyne, working his way through the NDSL, BDSL into the League of Ireland pathway. He has gone across the water, the UK, for trials at the young age of 15, and how he found that difficulty goes through. Alex now plays for St. Pat's Athletic's first team and has played in the very recent FAI record field of Viva and came off the bench to make a massive impact for Pat's to win the cup, and still only at the very young age of 20. Welcome to the podcast, Alex. So welcome back to part two. We're delighted to be joined by St. Pat's Athletic winger, Alex Nolan. Alex, how are you?
All good, lads. Thanks for having us on.
Really appreciate you coming on to the podcast. We're going to get straight into a couple of questions, which Trev's going to lead. Trev, walk away there. What was the first question, mate?
I wasn't ready for the first one. Okay, right, let's see. So, Alex,
living in Dunboyne, originally from Cluny. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Right, give us a bit of background on your footballing career then. Did you ever play for Dunboyne? No.
Only love started in Dunboyne.
Right, what age would you have been?
7.
Wow.
So it started late enough, to be fair. It was more like a push thing of like, had to start something. Went up to the Gaff first, hated it, sacked it off after half an hour. So I didn't like it, it was cold, and I was I didn't have the head for it. Like. So then eventually I went up to Dunboyne and just loved it, to be fair, from the start. Spent a year.
Do you remember who the coaches would have been at the time? Or I mean, you were young, obviously, but
couldn't tell you. I couldn't remember anymore. No. Like.
Okay. And went from there. Then obviously that's a young age, so you stay there for a year. So how did you go from there? Then
went to Phoenix, then up in the Navan Road. Was there for about 8 years, I think it was. So I was there for a while, like, and then went to Home Farm for a year and a half. Then.
Right, very good. I'm bringing it on. I'm sure we'll, because you're only young for us, so it's we'll get on to your current career now in a minute. So you went from there, then that's when you start getting obviously trials and things like that. So who looked at you first, and where did you go?
Went to Lincoln at 15, and was up there a couple of times, but wasn't ready to go over. Like, you know, we are a kid at 15, like, don't want to leave the house, don't want to leave me ma.
Shout out to the mad there, like, she's gonna love that. And so you came back then, and then obviously then I can see from your career path, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know there's Rovers involved there, but am I skipping it there, or was there someone in between?
No, went from Home Farm to Rovers. Went to Rovers for 6 months, and then they let me go, funny enough. So then I went to Shells for 2 years and progressed all the way from 17 to the first team.
And who would have been the coaches then for Shells at that time? It wasn't that long ago.
I had Damien Duff at 17.
Right, let's and get into that.
Oh, it was a joke, to be fair. It was great.
a good joke.
Yeah,
to kids of these days now, a joke is a good thing or a bad thing, so we have to be careful. That's a joke, and that actually means that's good.
Come here, Alex, give us an idea. So we hear all wonderful things, and we had a few people tell us about what his schedule is like, and first thing in the morning and all that, and 24/7. Sure, he says it himself. Have you any stories or any idea? Give us an idea what he was like, working under him.
No real stories from like morning. He sacked the morning training off. I remember he used to have like a few of my mates in at Rovers at like 6 a.m. or something, mad time. And then when he came in with us, it was during COVID, and he was like, I'm not going to have his up in the morning. Like, I've learned not to bring his in that early and stuff. But now he was great. Like, even like he come in with us during training, and you could see like he still had it. Like, he was unbelievable in training. Like,
I can only imagine what that was like. And then so you progressed, and he gave you you made your first team debut with under Damien Duff then, is it? Or
no, he was in the 17s, and then I was 19s. We had a couple of managers in and out, and then Ian Morris gave me my first team debut.
Yeah, Ian Morris is a former Bowes man.
Right, okay. And bring us up, right, there, so let's go. So then from... Yeah, of course, yeah.
Can I bounce back there to Lincoln, Alex? Do you know how that comes about, or what way did you hear about that, or what...
It was something to do with Home Farm. I think the head of coaching, Pat Cleary, he coached me and stuff every week, and he said Lincoln were interested in having me over. Like, so I kind of just went from there, then went over for, I think it was a week trial, and then they brought me back over for a game. We played West Brom then, down in West Brom.
So you kind of touched on it then, you didn't want to leave your mammy, you didn't want to leave home. Was it that? And listen, as you said, you were 15 at the time?
Yeah, 15, yeah.
It must have been really nervous for you going over there, was it? Like...
What way does it work, Alex?
Do you literally leave home, and when you're at the airport, that's it, you're on your own, or does somebody go over with you, or what way does it work?
To fair, my dad came over with me, to fair, because he was like, I can't leave you going on your own, because I think you need someone there besides you, because you never know what could happen in that whole week on your own. I think it was great that he'd come over with us, like.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. And then do you sit and wait for the call when you come back from the week? Do you sit and wait for the call? Do you even want the call? Do you, are you dreading to go, oh, if they want me, I'll probably have a decision to make, or if they don't want me, am I going to be disappointed? What way does that work in your head?
Now, to be fair, like we sat and chat with the director of football there, Jez George, a couple of times with my dad during the week. And he was just saying, like, we would like to offer him, but we don't think he's ready at this point. And to be fair, I was kind of like buzzing at the same time, but I was like, it's a bit of a negative as well, because you're like, you would want to go, but like, you know, deep down, you're not ready to leave home either.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? It's kind of it's a fair way to done it, in fairness.
Well, I would imagine going back to your club, knowing that, you know, it wasn't a waste of time. And of course, it was never going to be a waste of time because you're gaining experience. But to know that, like, yeah, you have it, that's what you're told, but you're just a bit too young. I'd say you bounced back to your team and off you went again. And how else could you have come from that? Definitely, like, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, like, you just have to go back and just keep doing the same thing as you do week in, week out, like, and just keep enjoying your football, like, because it's not like you were fully rejected. They said, look, you're not good enough. It was just a thing of, like, you're not ready to go, which is a normal thing for a lot of lads, like.
And, Alex, you know, when you were playing through your skill boys, as you started off in Dunboyne, and then, you know, you went out to Phoenix and then the home farm, were you ever playing up a year, or were you standing out, or was, do you ever feel you were going to make it in the League of Ireland at least?
I think it was a thing of, like, sometimes you play a year up, but I was actually like a small kid, like, when I was younger, like, I took a big growth spurt around 14, 15, so I was always like a small kid as well. I think, like, more like went under the radar a bit about people, like, wouldn't be talked about loads, and like, whereas other lads in my team would be like, oh, this fella's very good and stuff, like. So I think as I gradually, like, got older and stuff, it was more like, oh, Alex is actually okay, he's actually good, like, he's starting to come out of his shell a bit, like, because I was a bit of like a shy kid as well.
Very good. And thinking that, because you were kind of going, as you said, going under the radar, so that would have took a lot of pressure off you. If kids were noticed, if, as you said, other players are getting noticed around you, then if you just keep doing the same thing, working hard, it'll come out in fruition in the end, like you did just blossom at the right time with no pressure on you. So probably did work out well for you being a small kid, as you say.
Yeah, no, it did, to be fair. And like, fair play to my mum and dad with it, because there was no pressure on me at all. Like, it was just go out and kick a ball around, doesn't it? Like, just enjoy yourself as a kid. Like, there was no pressure on me, like, to have a career or anything. Like, you're just out there playing with your mates basically every week.
Daddy. Scott, do you want to come in there with any questions for Alex?
Yeah, no, just to follow up. So obviously you're with the Shells setup, and you made your senior debut with Shells. Did it come a point then you moved on to UCD? Was that more of a footballing decision in terms of trying to get into the first team, trying to get more games under your belt?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, like, I was offered a contract in Shells, but I just thought, like, UCD was you look at, like, the path UCD have with young players and stuff, like, and the moves after, I thought, like, you go in, you get 50 games. What I got, like, in the year and a half, like, I thought, like, to get 50 games at, 19 and stuff, like, it's huge in the league, and they just got promoted as well with Shell, so either way, I would have been playing Premier Division football. I just thought UCD at the time was a better move for me to go for games and experience.
And yeah, with UCD, so looking at it, so, you know, the standard, I suppose, your standards are going up all the time. No disrespect,
yeah,
the Shells under 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to, obviously, UCD, and then, you know, obviously done very, very well there, because obviously you got your moving out the same path. So what's, like, ultimately, from what you've done so far, because you're still very, very young, is there any kind of coaches that have, are you still there, yeah? Is there any coaches that have really stood out, apart from the obvious ones? You know, it could be a coach kind of from one of your younger groups or whatever that really kind of helped you or nudged you along the way to kind of keep you going. Is there anyone that's really stood out for you?
I think it was during my time at Phoenix, the two coaches I had were very good, Michael Burke and Igor Platten. They helped me a lot, like, It was more just like, because I'd grown up with the lads, like from like the age of 8 to 15, 16, when I ended up leaving me to go to Rovers, like I think I learned a lot from them for the whole 8 years.
They were good role models, were they?
Yeah, 100%. Like, and it was just more
hugely
like...
hugely important.
Yeah, it was more like, because we weren't like a Kevin's team or a Belvo. It was more on the radar, but they were still, we were producing good footballers. Like, it was just trying to play better football and stuff. And where teams would go, ah, Phoenix are actually a good team here. Like,
yeah, it's hugely important. Like, and that's perfect for what we're thinking. Like, we're all involved in Dunboyne, you know, myself and Paul coaching, and obviously Scott's still playing. And it is something that we're very conscious of with our kids and with all the kids and all the different groups that are there. That it can be, it may be a coach there, but we're all dads initially, and then we fall into coaching as such, and then some get the bug and they want to go on, or others just turn up on a Saturday or Sunday, put out the cones, and they're hugely important, and bringing Timmy to the matches and all that kind of stuff. But it is a case that it could be that coach. Like, it's, I'm glad I asked that question about who would kind of stood out for you when, you know, through your career, and it wasn't probably the obvious one for us, if you get me, because...
Yeah, well, to be fair, like, Damon did help me a lot, but I think, yeah, like, because it was such a small period, like, I obviously would have liked longer, but from the two lads, from obviously to have me from, like, 8 years of age till 16, like, it's a lot of time to have a relationship and stuff.
Yeah, you sound like you're a young lad, Alex, and it sounds like you've got a grey head on your shoulders, because I know a lot of people would have said Damien Duff, and a lot of people would do that, but you sound like you're very grounded and go, yeah, Duffer was there and he did help me. But you know what, these two guys had me at a younger age, and we were in a small club, well, not as recognised club as some of the clubs you've been with, you know, and them coaches you were there for, what, 6-7 years, you said?
Yeah, about 7 or 8,
into your League of Ireland. So credit to you, because you could have easily just said Damien Duff there and we all would have nodded and said yeah, but to give them two coaches credit is a credit to yourself. Fair play to you, mate. That's a big one.
And the other thing about that, Alex, is that even putting on the point of Damien Duff, like, you're a winger. Like, Damien Duff is a legendary winger for Chelsea and, well, obviously more importantly, Republic of Ireland. So it would have been quite obvious to pick him. Yeah. So, look, we'll move on from Damien Duff now in a second, but the last question I have on him, like, obviously you were saying it was a short amount of time that you were with him, but the fact that you were in that position, or in a position that he, surely he gave you stuff that you just thought, you know what, that's amazing. It might be only simple things, but I'm sure he helped you along the way in that sense, would he?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, just little bits you get off him of, like, you know, like your body position or, like, receiving the pass in the pocket and stuff, like, his attention to detail was unbelievable, to be fair. Just little things. Like, I learned so much off of him in the small period that, like, even still to this day, I think, oh, Damien would have said do that. Like, so, like, you think, like, oh, what would he have said? Do you know what I mean? Because he just instills it in you, like, just small bits.
And do you think he'd be happy with you now when you bang in the winner in a few weeks' time against him?
I know. I think you tell me, you know, a few harsh words, but I think deep down he'd be happy for us as well at the same time.
Yeah, I think if you run
past the dugout and go, Damien, you taught me that one.
So, Alex, on players, like, players themselves, like, so obviously, what team do you actually support, or what teams did you support growing up?
Just United, Man United, to be fair.
Right, and who would you look up to?
Obviously, like, Rooney and stuff, the obvious ones, but I think more, like, a strange one for me was Gareth Bale when I was younger. Just, like, left-foot winger and stuff, like, and just even, obviously, retired now, but he still watches videos and stuff, and how good he was, it's unbelievable, like.
Paul, do you have one there? Because I have another question I want to ask, but I'll ask him in a minute.
Yeah, who would you like to play with? If you were to play with any player in the world, would it be, I think you nearly answered it, or would you go somewhere else?
You could say the
opposite. Past, like, or present?
Messi and Ronaldo, obviously, but, like, I'd actually love to play with, like, Bale or something, just, or Hazard. Hazard was a joke, like. I used to hate watching them like when I was younger, because obviously he'd be hopping off United, like. But then when he leaves and stuff, and you watch videos back, you think like, wow, like what a footballer! Like,
well, you're obviously you're playing with one of your dream players at the minute, with Conor Keighley. Like, you know what I mean? I believe that's one of the reasons why you made that big move to St. Pat's. So how are you getting on with himself? Now, you can be honest, or you can tell the truth. You know, it's up to you. But what's the situation?
I'll just start slating them.
Yeah, go on, go for it.
Yeah. No, to be fair, I get on well with Conor, because obviously when I was put on Josh, I went to school with Josh as well. So it was an easy enough relationship to get on well with him as well.
That's some talented bunch, that, jeez.
Yeah. So how does that big move come, Conor, Alex, to Pats? Do they come knocking, like, does it go through the clubs you hear? How do you hear about it as a player?
My agent actually said it to me. He rang me up and was like, look, Pats are interested. John, obviously the manager of Pats now, he said he'd be interested in speaking to me. Just give him a text. So I gave him a text, and it was during the mid-season break. So he was like, we'll meet after the break. So it was grand. Went in and spoke to John, a couple of conversations on the phone and stuff as well. Sold me really well. And just thought, like, it'd be a great move for me to go full-time. Obviously, because, like, if you're to go, there was interest in England as well. It's like, you're not going full-time straight away, whereas if you have the comfortability of going full-time at home first, and then you can move away with more experience as well, it suit me better.
And how you find the adjustment to full-time football now, Alex? Is it much different, or was there kind of a teething process there, or did you just jump straight into it?
Well, I just don't think there was much of a difference. I think, like, when you say full-time, obviously, like, with UCD, it's because we train in the evenings, but we'd be actually training the exact amount as you would full-time. It's just not your full-time job, like, whereas with Pats, it's in the mornings, you have more video gym and stuff, like, it's just more hands-on.
And with the looking at the season so far, it's only just started, like, a long way to go. Obviously, it could be a better start, but could be worse as well. So what's your looking at it, the game going forward now for Dundalk on Friday? Obviously, you're hoping to start, let's be honest.
Yeah, obviously, but if you don't start, you're ready to come on, make an impact, and hopefully get 3 points, because obviously it's a long season, but and it wasn't a great start from the lads last year when you look back at it and what we achieved at the end of the year, but you still want to be competing. You don't want teams to run away from you and stuff like.
And one thing, and Scott's not going to like this too much, when we talk about last season and a couple of cup games maybe, Scott, we have to ask, is it the guest, like?
Alex, but Scott's a big balls fan, so... He was on a certain game last week in the Aviva, or last year in the Aviva. He actually cut his holiday short, cost him a lot of money. I'm not too sure what game this is. Would you run a pass it, Alex? What game was this?
I think it was the FA Cup final, was it?
Bingo.
That's what it was. It was on the tippy tongue. I just couldn't think of it.
Right.
How was that experience, mate?
Yeah, well, a cup final day. What? Come on, give us a lowdown on that.
Alex, give us a lowdown from, if you don't mind, from the week before or 2 weeks before. Like, and obviously it's a different process than a normal game. The build up, the hype, it's a sellout. What way does the things change? The narrative change the week before?
No, to be fair, like the lads, like the older lads, like obviously Chris Forrester and stuff were saying, like the build up before the final is actually way better. Like, it's like, because you know you have a cup final in your head, like, and it was like, luckily for us, we got Europe sorted, like we'd sailed Europe, so it was like less pressure off us as well. And then it was like, you know, you get your suit measured and stuff, you're going in having to crack with the lads and they're just getting ready, and you know there's a buzz of a cup final. And then but there's nothing that changes much. Like, I don't think it should change, because at the end of the day it's still a game of football. Like, it's still a 90 minutes, obviously sold out crowd in the Aviva, but like it's still a game of football.
And playing in front of that sold out crowd, did that just feel like just different to like your normal? Obviously, it would have, but like, could you sum up in some words how it felt to play in front of a sold out Aviva?
Oh, it was mad, to be fair. Like, you don't actually realize till after, like, it came on, you kind of just switch off to everything around you, like, you don't really, like, notice anything. It's like, you always question, like, when you see in the telly, like, can you actually hear the boys when you're playing and stuff? Like, you can proper hear the lads speak to each other and all, like, whereas, like, I used to think when I was younger, like, how are they talking to each other? Like, how can you hear someone if there's, like, 50,000 in the stadium? Whereas, like, it's actually mad easy because you end up switching it off. You can't hear anyone else, like.
That's great insight, so, yeah.
Yeah. How many times have you watched the match back, that particular match?
Once.
That's it?
Weirdly enough, once, yeah.
More memories to make, I suppose, going forward. You mentioned one player that seems to come up all the time, and if you know League of Ireland or anything about League of Ireland, and you don't know this person, there's something wrong. Chris Forrester. Like, what's, now that you're seeing him day in, day out, is he as good as everyone says?
Gets a joke, to be fair, like, but he's been very good with me. Like, he's proper took me under the wing. He's like a big brother, to be fair.
Deadly.
He's great, like, he's a top fella, like.
Deadly.
I have a question there for you. I don't know if you've just answered there for me, but who was the best player you've ever played with?
You'd have to say Git, wouldn't you? But, like, I've played with a lot of good footballers, like, but I'd say, like, Git.
Don't have to say Git.
No, to be fair, Git or Jake Mulroney, to be fair.
Git's on next week. send on that number as well, Alex, won't you? Yeah.
Come here, while you're at that one, who's the best player you've played against?
Jack Bourne.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. What a
player. I remember it was my first start for UCD playing Rovers, and I'm just getting ran around by him, like, in a triangle and stuff with Dylan Watson. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm miles off of here. Like,
yeah.
It was so good, like.
But it is a case of, you know, everyone starts there. He was that player once as well, Alex, in fairness. So, look, and as Paul said, you have your head screwed on, so I've no doubt you'll do well. I've one question for you, one question I want to ask. But apart from soccer, any other sports that you follow or you play or anything?
Not really, no. It was more just football straight away. Obviously, tried the gap and wasn't a fan of it, like, but it was just football straight away. Instantly, like, just fell in love with it, like.
Rumour has it you played a bit of golf.
I'm trying to get into it.
ever play out in Sutton Golf Club?
Never.
Ever on the golf course at all, anyway?
No, never.
With flags or anything like that?
I played one round of golf with the lads. And it was just like just a laugh and stuff. Like, I don't even think I'd get around in now. But I need to try and get into it, like, because it is good crack, like.
But my intel is incorrect, or you're telling lies here. Was there an incident on Sutton Golf Club a couple of years ago regarding you and a flag?
Sutton? Oh, no.
He's been caught out.
Do you want to elaborate on that there, Alex?
If you don't, I will. So you better put it in your own words.
Remember, it's a family show.
Yeah. I think it'll
comment.
We'll leave it at that. We can blame a certain person that we both know with that information. So sorry about that, but John Dowling, we'll give him a shout out. Thanks for a million for setting him up. If you could see his face, it definitely worth a treat. Sorry about that, Alex.
He had to get his name mentioned.
Of course he did. Now, in fairness, he does. He says he listens to the podcast, and so I look. And he was good enough. In fairness, now, all joking aside, he was the one that kind of put me in touch with you. So appreciate, obviously, you coming on, but appreciate John for giving the shout out. Thanks a million for that. Paul?
Before we let you go, Alex, what's the ambitions going forward? So you're only a young man. Were you 20, you said? Going on
21? Yeah, 20, going 21,
What's your ambitions?
Obviously, go away. I don't think, like, it's just England. I think Europe is overlooked as well. Like, when you look at, like, the likes of, like, Jonathan Afolabi going to Belgium and stuff, like, playing against, like, the likes of Genk and stuff, and Anderlecht, it's mad. Like, even, like, Germany, Holland, like, I think they're very overlooked, whereas, like, it's just straight onto England, whereas like there's 100% better leagues and stuff, like, and like better pathways into Europe and stuff as well. So it's not like the be all end all if you don't play in England.
Fair play to you.
Yeah, I was just, I know you just, you touched on that, Alex, and in terms of, at the end of the day, look, I'm a League of Ireland footballer. If I had someone like Alex on my team, I wouldn't want them to leave ever. But the enticement of England is just too much. And I was listening to an interview between Owen Doyle and Patrick Abond, who's just back in the league now this year, to just say the level of opportunity to go over to England, because obviously money-wise, but also the FA Cup, those kind of big occasions, unfortunately, we can't produce that in Ireland at the moment. So it's just keep your head down, and hopefully an opportunity like that will come along, because it is just the amount of doors it opens up. And as you said, Europe is completely overlooked for League of Ireland players. And you mentioned Johnny Afolabi, who was top goal scorer last year, and he's gone over to Belgium. I mean, just the opportunity there is just brilliant now, I feel, especially with Brexit, because now the English clubs are looking for Irish lads because it's just easier to sign. So hopefully get a good run of games, and hopefully some opportunities come up for you, Alex.
Yeah, hopefully.
And let's not rule out, let's not jump ahead here, but let's look at it. You're very ambitious. Let's look at the international stuff. Look at all the young fellas that are coming through. You mentioned a few of them there. You know, obviously we don't know who the new manager is officially yet, but who's to say that won't happen either? So we'll be certainly watching out. All joking aside, we'll be watching out for you, and the likes of yourself and anyone that comes on, that anyone that's, look, it also helps if you're a local lad, but it doesn't really matter. It's all about young fellas making their dreams come true. So hopefully, so far so good, but hopefully you can push on and be what you want to be, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully get to put the green shirt on one of the days.
Yeah, I have no doubt you will. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Alex. I think the two boys appear here and hit the notes there on the head just before we finish up. We wish you all the best in your career going forward. We'll be looking out for you and supporting you all the way. We'll always have you in the back of the mind, and we'll be looking forward to you reaching them heights that you're going to set for yourself. So thanks very much for coming on to the podcast. We really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll come on for the second part at the end of the season.
100%. Thanks very much. That's really appreciate it.
Fair play, Alex. Pressure's off now.
How are you, Roddy Collins here? And I listen to This Is Football podcast.